in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation. Changed in his presence. We have been transformed in his presence. We have been transformed in his presence. We have been changed. We have been transfigured. This is a mountain of transfiguration. It's a mountain of fire. Zion is a mountain of fire. He said, ye are come unto Mount Zion. You have come to that mountain burning with fire, burning with fresh fire. It's a mountain of blazing fire. The house of God is a house of fire. It's a firehouse. It's a spiritual fire station. That is what it means to come for service. You have come to refuel, to refire, to rekindle the embers of your fire, to fan into flame the gift of God, the inner fire. Imbrigado sapalatai. Oh Father, we give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. There are spontaneous impartation taking place. Fire encounters. That's exactly what you came for. To encounter the fire of his presence. Thank you, Father. Oh, I feel the burnings of fire. The burnings of fire in this place. He said, oh, that thou wouldest rent the heavens. Now, Isaiah 64 verse 1. He said, oh, that thou wouldest rent the heavens. See the desire of the prophet, the heart cry of the prophet. That thou wouldest rent the heavens. That thou wouldest come down. See, as when the melting fire burneth. I'm telling you, melting fire is burning in this place. Say, it is a fire that caused the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thy adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. This is how we win. This is how we take over. This is how we take over our world for Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Father, we reference your presence. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the glory of your presence in this place. Thank you for the impartations of the Spirit. Thank you for the encounter. Let no life remain the same. In Jesus' name. You might be seated. It's raining already. Raining season, cold weather in Jos. Can there be a better time to preach, to talk about fire than now? See, when you are on fire, you no go feel cold weather. Fire is a cure for coldness, both spiritual coldness and even physical coldness. Hallelujah. Believe you me, my body is on fire. Honestly, as I talk to you right, my entire body is as if they pour drum of fire on my body. You know, something will happen to you in this service that the next 10, 20, in fact, throughout your lifetime, the remaining days of your life on earth, this encounter will still be speaking. You will make reference to this encounter, today's meeting, as the day that your life permanently shifted and changed. Because you are entering into something today. I'm telling you. It's a season of promotion. And God have come with fire to promote you. To make you a sharp threshing instrument, haven't it? You will carry this fire to your sphere of influence. You will carry it to your world. You will carry it to your sphere of contact. Your school, your institution, the medical school, the engineering school, the ICT world. You will carry this fire to your workplaces. Malakuze feletena. Agabalatiza. You will carry it to your homes. You will carry it to your community, your neighborhood, your city, your nation. Kalito sefeletena. Angras kapatai. This is how we change the world. This is how we are going to change the world. This is how, you see, in the prophecy, give me Joel chapter 2 verse 3. In the prophecy, Joel described the end time church, and fire was the emblem of the end time church. Fire is the emblem of the end time church. Fire is the unmistakable, undisputable, and unchanging emblem of the end time church. Fire is the undisputable, unmistakable. What's the third one? Irrefutable. Let me add another one. Symbol of the end time church. It described the end time church as an army on fire for God. A fire devoured before them. Behind them a flame bonnet. Kaligo barakata. Because the assignment, the mission, requires inoculation with fire. The mission of evangelizing the world, global evangelism, fulfilling the mandate of the Great Commission, is a mission impossible without firepower. It is only a church on fire that can carry out the Great Commission, that can execute that mandate. Am I communicating? Keliko Balatia. The end time church of Christ is described as a burning ball of fire. Is described and identified as a flaming fire. Fire is the unmistakable identity and description of the end time church, God's prophetic takeover army. Look at it there. A fire devoured before them, behind them a flame bonnet. The land is as the garden of it. You see, we live in a day and time that people overrate packaging. Packaging is overrated.
branding and is not bad though, it's good. Listen, packaging is good, it's not totally bad, but content is best. Make sure you carry fire as your content beyond your packaging. Make sure, so that people will not curse you. Have you ever bought something with good packaging that attracted, and then by the time you open it, you became disappointed? You even cursed the thing itself. You got angry. God punish them. I just wasted money. You see, when branding and packaging is not matched with commensurate level of firepower, that's what happens. You become a disappointment to people. Am I communicating? That will not be your portion, no? Thank God for packaging, all the packaging and branding we are seeing in the church and all of that. But beyond all of that, the church, see, nothing can replace fire in the church. Nothing. If you don't carry fire this end time, forget about impact. Forget about global impact and influence. In fact, you can't even change a fly if you don't carry fire. Not in this wicked world. Have you not heard the prophecy of Isaiah? Behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. Isaiah 60:1-3. He said, but the Lord shall arise upon you. His glory shall be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. And we say shining light is a direct byproduct of burning fire. Shining as light is the resultant effect of burning fire. For you to shine, to beam forth with the light of God's glory, to illuminate your world that is in darkness. Am I communicating? To enlighten your world, to become a solution to your generation, to become a person of value. Am I communicating? You must first be a burning ball of fire. How else can you solve the problem of the world if you are not on fire for God? What value will you offer your world when you are not on fire for God? Keligo bagadia. In this world that Satan is giving people demonic, terrible ideas by the day, how to sin more against God. All manner of crazy things taking place in the world. A man will just wake up one day, say, I'm tired of being a man. He will go and do surgery, transform to a woman. Now having breasts, having bum bum. Say, I am a she now. I used to be a he. You see, all manner of mad things, the kind of world we are living in. You think that you will take over this world and change things with this your fireless Christianity? Eh? Is it the kind of Christianity that was handed over to us by the apostle? By the apostles, the early church, it cannot change anything unless you are on fire for God. In this same world, you will see there are some places that the toilet is no longer male and female; it's male, female, then general. Transgender, all manner. You hear of the LGBTQI community, right? LGB what? Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, intersex, all manner of madness. Is it Sweden that I heard recently? They want to start sex sport competition. Oh, you've not been reading it in the news? Sex sport. See, this is the kind of crazy world we are in, and you are here doing church as usual. No fire. How will you? How of what value, of what relevance will the end time church be in this wicked world if we are not burning with blazing fire? Iko balakatiza brakataya. It is fire that makes you a problem solver. Fire increases your value. I told you last week, fire does not just have spiritual value. It has value in all areas of life. It has spiritual value, financial value, all manner of value. All manner, physical value. Fire makes you beautiful. We say fire refines. And until fire refines you, you are not fine. Fire makes you spiritually beautiful. Fire makes you fine. Let me tell you, neighbor, fire makes you fine. Just check people that are really on fire for God. You know, there are different kinds of beauty. Physical beauty. Mental beauty. Spiritual beauty. You don't know? Spiritual beauty. There are different kinds of beauty. Oh. Some people are not, they may not have much physical beauty, but when you hear them talk, brains, you understand? I think it was Pastor Kingsley Okonkwo that what made him like his wife was when he heard her talk. It was in a room, he came to greet somebody and he heard her talking and there was no light. NEPA took light. It was dark, so there was no way he could have seen her physical beauty. But he saw she was making sense. Brain. So much intelligence. That's what we call mental beauty. Because the only type of beauty many ladies know is physical beauty. That's all 1/3. Oh. There is spiritual beauty. When you are on fire for God, you are spiritually beautiful. And that is the most important type of beauty. You don't know? Ayagabarakataya. Spiritual beauty will affect the beholder faster than any type of beauty. They say beauty lies in the eyes of what? Why do women, ladies go and get Kanya Mata, love potion, all of that powder to get husband? It's because they want their beholders to be charmed, to come under the jazz, so that. Now, they are trying to manipulate spiritual beauty, in summary. That's what they are trying to do. But that one at lower level. We have the real thing. Am I communicating? When you are on fire, you become spiritually beautiful. And when people behold you, they fall in love with you. It doesn't matter how you look physically. Spiritual beauty can veto physical beauty. Did you hear what I just said? You think Esther was the most beautiful in that competition? You are joking. The king is looking for a replacement, a queen to replace Vashti. Do you know how Vashti was beautiful? How beautiful she was? Bible scholars tell us she was dropped down, my God. Kings those days, they look for the most beautiful. And the king, is he Artaxerxes? He was the then world power. He was the ruler of the world because Persia, the Medo-Persian Empire was the like equivalent of US today. It was the world power. So they will cascade through the most beautiful person. That's the one. And those days, once, it's not like today that you hear ladies say, but I don't love him. you are joking. Those days, once a king say, I want this one, you start loving him on the spot. You don't have a choice. Oh, this one is not my spec. You are the one talking grammar. Those days, once the king say, nah, this one, that's all. Oh, you start, don't fall in love instantly. Because you don't have a choice. Those days, they brought an array of all manner of beautiful, they were on 1 year beauty treatment with all the costume, is it costume? No, not costume, cosmetics, all the beauty treatment equipment, the most expensive you can think of. The king said, place them on that treatment for 1 year. But Esther was cooking something spiritually in addition to that one. Don't just be doing what others are doing. Add fire to your own. She was a woman of prayer and fasting. So in addition to what all the treatment others were undergoing, she was cooking her own with fire.
So she didn't just rely on her physical advantage. She took advantage of firepower. And no wonder she only passed once, and she ended the show prematurely. I pity all the people after Esther. They didn't even have any opportunity to do their own parade and catwalk. They didn't have all that. They didn't have the opportunity. Esther ended the show prematurely. Ego Latiza Balatia. And shall I shock you? The worst part of it is that all those women that contested, no man can marry them again. That's the funniest part. Because they contested. You don't, it's like a disrespect for any man to go and marry them. Even when they failed the competition, just because they contested to be queen, so they will remain unmarried. How, nobody, how dare you? You say you marry, if the king hear it, even though he does not want them, oh, he cannot. Are you say it's so funny? Oh, thank you, Jesus. He say a fire devoured before them. Give me that scripture again, Joel 2. Behind them a flame bonnet. The land is as a garden of Eden before them. Behind them a desolate wilderness. What a mighty invading force and army. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. Next verse. It says, verse 4. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses. I know horse represents strength. Am I communicating? Horse represents strength and speed. Fire gives you strength. Fire gives you speed. And as so shall they run. Next verse. We say fire imparts urgency and speed. Fire never burns slowly. When you're on fire for God, you do things speedily. Fire will fast track your life and destiny. It will speed up everything that concerns you. He said, like the noise of chariot on the tops of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoured the stubble, and as a strong people set in battle array. You don't fight battle if you don't carry fire. Am I communicating? I hope we know we are in a warfare. By now you should know that. Life is not a funfair. Life is a warfare. The earth is not a playing ground. The earth is a battlefield. And unless you carry fire, there is no hope of victory. There is no hope of conquest. Next verse. Before their face, the people shall be so much pain, all faces shall gather blackness. Next verse. They shall run like mighty men. Do we have mighty men in the house? They shall run like mighty men. Because they are on fire for God. Fire will energize them to run. Fire will give them the speed, the acceleration, the velocity. He said they shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march everyone on his ways. They shall march everyone on his... You see, it's like a battle formation, like a military formation. Am I communicating? He said, everyone shall march on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. In other words, everybody will know their calling, their assignment, and they will abide by it. Are you getting me? When Jesus said, go in into all the world, out of that all the world is your own world. Every man's world is his sphere of influence, is his sphere of contact. That's your world. Your sphere of influence, your sphere of contact. All the people you are in contact with, all the people you influence, they make up your world. Am I communicating? So he said, you will carry the fire of God and you will use it to take over your world for Jesus. You will set those in your wall ablaze. Am I communicating? You will colonize your world with the fire power of God through the gospel of Christ. Keliko barakatai. Some of you are carrying that fire to the media world.
You are colonizing the media world with the culture and civilization of the kingdom of God through the gospel by fire power. Some of you will carry the fire to the world of politics and governance, just like Daniel did in Babylon, just like Joseph did in Egypt. Am I communicating? Some of you will carry the fire, palatizo branta capa, to the world, economic world, the world of business, trade and commerce, the money world. Am I communicating? I'm believing God for believers that are loaded with dollars, pounds, euros, and all of that, and then they are loaded with firepower. Not the type that small million here and there has made them to lose all their fire. Not those type. Do you know what it means to be a billionaire? See, if God has not trained you well, when some billions enter your hand, let me tell you what is going to happen. You will stop praying. Because we say one of the temptations of the rich is what? Trusting in their riches. And God doesn't want you. God wants you to have money. He doesn't want money to have you. When you start loving money and trusting in money, that means money, mammon, spirit of mammon, has gripped you. Money is already having you. So you will stop praying. You will even stop coming for service. It's a festival of what? Well, how will I be doing? 12 hours? Damn. You are sitting inside your private jet. Oh, you people waste time doing 12 hours? Don't you have something to do? Yeah, that's how you'll be talking. Oh, I'm telling you the truth. Not you, Sha. This is why we are training you well, so that even if you have $100 trillion, you will still be doing 12 hours festival of fire. Money will not reduce your spirituality. When you understand what I'm saying, in fact, the more money, the more you will be doing. There are things you do that help to fuel your fire. So you will have more time to fire, to refire, to recharge, to refuel, to rekindle. Spending time with God, spending time with His Word, going for meetings and conferences, sponsoring crusades. We are trusting those that we write check. Say, Glory Incense Concert and Crusade 2023. How much is the budget? 10 million. Papa, please, can we manage 20 million? Just write the check. It's a privilege. And you do it with humility. All this braggadocious attitude. Yeah, we are the one that sponsored the church. Ah, pastor, you know, don't start church, you know, no tell us. We are the ones now. Even this pastor, we are the sponsors, not those type of people like that. Keep your money. We don't need it. It's always a privilege to give to the things of God. You will carry fire and you will carry finance. Businessmen on fire for God. You carry the fire of God to the movie industry. You carry it to the music industry. Not the type of secular music, rubbish songs that you see promoting lust, promoting immorality, promoting, oh man, no wonder rape cases are going up every day because of the kind of sexually explicit things people watch in all these secular movies, secular music. You will hardly see a secular music that a lady is not shaking bum bum. You just see all manner of madness. We need a new set of fire brand believers that are called to the movie industry, called to the music industry, the entertainment industry, that we set that mountain on fire for God. Am I communicating? We need new set of producers. We need people that will own TV stations, radio stations, that will be on fire for God. Channels like, is it Channel O? How many of you know channels? Channel O, right? The programs there are intentionally designed to captivate the youth. And those programs don't have kingdom values. No wonder. You see, our average youths, they are confused. Some of them are wayward. Some of them have become promiscuous, living anyhow. It's the things they keep hearing, the things they keep hearing, and they keep seeing on TV. We are trusting God for people that will carry the fire of God to their to the mountain of family. Hi, families are suffering. Oh, Satan and his hatred for the family institution. If you know the things happening in marriages, the things happening among children. You see, wayward children, rebellious children. Children don't want to obey their parents again. Mommy, do you know how old I am? I'm no longer 12, I'm 19. Don't talk to me like that. I'm only respecting you. See, if we were in America, I would have called police on you. Daddy, for slapping me, I'll call police on you. For disciplining me, I will have called police on you. They will arrest you. You will rot in jail, Daddy. You are joking with me. You see, madness. They don't want discipline again. We are trusting God for people that will carry fire to correct the head of children. That we reset their head to the correct scriptural setting. Are you listening? That we mend broken homes, mend broken marriages by the fire power of the Spirit. Kalibala tuze feletena, abrande keporasi balatina, jeliko balatia. We live in a world that look as if cheating, men cheating on their wives, cheating on their wife has become like a norm. It has become like a normal thing. What madness against the scriptural order. He said, you know, as an African man, we are polygamous by nature. It's abnormal for you not to do so. How can one woman satisfy a man in his lifetime? You check him now. It's not normal. After all, I take care of my wife. You know, you can't be eating a goosey soup every day. One day you have to test okra. You test. You understand? People come with all manner of demonic explanation. Say, variety is the spice of life. So you test all of them, different shape, different sizes, different colors. So only you. You will do in Africa. You will fly to America. You will fly to Asia. Only you. What is the cure? Somebody say firepower. You know, there are people called to the mountain of family. You need to carry fire to provide solution to those crises in marriages, in families. You need to carry the firepower of God to mend those broken, troubled marriages, families, and homes. What of those called to the academic world as teachers, as lecturers, etc.? You need to carry the firepower of God into the academia. Am I communicating? We have so many teachers, so many lecturers, so many academicians that are Christians, but they are not doing kingdom business in that mountain of academics. In the mountain of education, they are not doing kingdom business. They say they are shy. They say they are afraid. Say, if I preach now, I will lose my job. They are slow and sluggish. Why? Because fire is not burning. The fire level is low, or it has died. Fire cannot be burning and you will not do things with urgency. Fire imparts speed and urgency.
You can't be on fire and be sluggish. Sluggishness, slowness, and all of that struggling to do kingdom business is a telltale sign of firelessness. What's the solution? Fresh fire. Series like this is for you. You won't be thinking, should I talk to the student about Jesus or should I not talk? Should I talk? Should I not talk? Should I not? Your mouth will open. Where? Have you touched fire before? You will shout. If fire broke, now the seat you are sitting right now, if they pull fire on under, you will shout. Hey! You will jump. That's the kind of speed. You won't be rationalizing in fear. No! You will spring into action. Fire will impart impetus for action. Kaligo balataya. Tell your neighbor, no more slackness. No more sluggishness. No more slowness. No more struggles concerning kingdom business. Oh yes. Fire imparts speed. Fire imparts urgency. Fire imparts the impetus for action. Jesus said in Luke 12:49, I came to set the world on fire. And now I wish the fire were what? Already burning. Glory to God. Now today I will be talking about something very, very important. Perhaps today's teaching is the most important of the 3 weeks teaching on this series. Praise God. Please listen carefully and get this church on fire. The testimony coming from this teaching is so much, numerous, not just in Nigeria, all across the world. We are hearing testimonies. Sit with this series. Am I communicating? Anytime you notice your fire is going down, gather church on fire, part 1 and 3. Go on a retreat. Use it for retreat. And you will refuel. You will recharge. You will refire. Am I communicating? You will contact fresh fire. I'll be talking about how to keep your fire burning today. You know, we've looked at what fire is. Can you remember the definition of fire? We said fire is a measure of your spiritual temperature. If let's say spiritual thermometer is the instrument you use to measure your spiritual what? Temperature. Spiritual thermometer. What instrument do you use to measure fire level? Let's say fireometer. We say fire means Romans 12:11, spiritual fervency, fervor, a deep and inexplicable obsession with God and the things of God. Fire talks about a burning and desperate desire, an intensely strong passion for God, a passionate love for God, a passionate longing for God, a passionate yearning for God and the things of God. We say fire means deep spiritual hunger. Fire means what? Deep spiritual hunger. What is spiritual hunger? A deep, desperate, and intensely strong desire, longing, yearning, or passion for God and the things of God. Fire means spiritual vibrancy, spiritual buoyancy. Fire means spiritual zeal and zest for God and the things of God. I'm just summarizing. We've looked at this before. Fire means spiritual intensity or intense spirituality. Shallow Christianity will do you no good. Surface Christianity will take you nowhere. You need to launch out into the deep. Practice Christianity with intensity. Fire means spiritual intensity. Praise God. We say fire means red hot love for God and the things of God. Red hot, red hot, red hot love for God and the things of God. Fire is a measure of the temperature of your love for God. Fire is a measure of the temperature of your love for God. Concerning the church in Laodicea, Revelation 3:15-16, Jesus said, thou art neither cold nor hot. He's talking of the temperature of their love for God. He said, because you are lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Praise God. In other words, lukewarmness nauseates Jesus. Kalabasha. And when you love God, you will love His presence. You will love the house of God. You will love the people of God. You will love lost souls. Souls for whom Jesus died. You can't love God and not love to win souls. Impossible. Fire means spiritual violence. Fire means spiritual violence, aggression, fierceness, ferocity. Fire also means holy anger and jealousy. So our God is a jealous God. But before then, you saw that our God is a consuming fire. Then even a jealous God. You know, jealousy is like love. It's a manifestation of love. How many of you know that? Jealousy. You know, when somebody you don't love is cheating on you, let's say in a relationship, somebody you don't love is cheating on you, you no go care, have you? But somebody that you have given your heart to is now has decided to break and trample on your heart by cheating on you with other women or with other men, as the case may be. What happened? The fires of jealousy will jump. Oh, you know, women can love. Oh. Women are the best lovers. Should I tell you the truth? Men are not the best lovers. Women are. I'm telling you. Women love better than men. But as a man, if you dare spoil her, if you dare take that love for granted by cheating on them, then the fires of jealousy will be fanned into flame. Why would they be jealous? Because they love you. If they don't love you, they won't be jealous. That's why when another woman is trying to like a married man, usually the first person to know is the wife of that married man. You don't know? I'm giving you wisdom. If you are a married man, the number one person that will easily spot if another woman is liking you is your wife. Because she loves you. And she will not share you with anybody else. In fact, your wife will start warning you. You see, this person. The married women are laughing. I'm not too comfortable how this person is coming close to you. It's too close. It's greeting you too much. Can you create some space? Give. If another woman is looking at somebody's husband with lustful eyes, the wife of that woman can easily see it too. She can see it. Sit down, I don't like the way she's looking at you. What brought me here, Jesus? We looked at characteristics of fire, right? We say fire is highly contagious. To spread fire, you carry fire. Fire easily spread. Fire can be transferred from one person to another. Fire can quickly and easily spread. Okay? It takes someone on fire to set others on fire. Number two, we say fire is in degrees. There are different temperatures of burning fire. Okay? There are different thresholds and bandwidths of firepower. You are living here with a higher threshold and a higher bandwidth of firepower. Then we say fire emits energy when it burns. Fire emits energy, heat and light energy. That talks of the anointing, that talks of revelation, the light of enlightenment, illumination, understanding, wisdom, direction, guidance, influence, impact, relevance, civilization, development. We say fire attracts people's attention. Fire, burning fire, easily attracts people's attention. Fire commands effortless publicity. In fact, fire is self-publicizing. Fire is self-advertising. Praise God. We say fire has transformative power. It transforms. Fire encounters are life-transforming and destiny-defining. Fire imparts speed and urgency. Fire consumes, fire refines, fire purifies, fire purges, fire cleanses. Fire is a protector and a preservative. And then we said fire, the constant tendency of any burning fire is to what? Go out, to die out. Proverbs 26:20, where there is no wood, there the fire what? Go it out. Give me Proverbs 26 verse 20. The constant tendency of fire is to go out. So, there are things you must do to keep the fire burning. Listen, as a priest of God, there are certain disciplines and certain demands. You can call them priestly duties that you must subscribe to on a daily basis to keep your fire burning, or else it will go out. There are certain disciplines, there are certain demands as a priest of God that you must subscribe to on a daily basis to keep the fire burning. That's why Leviticus 6 verse 12, is it the fire upon the altar must always be burning. The priest should put wood on it. Praise God. I say praise God. Then we looked at the blessings and benefit of being on fire for God. Fervency of your spirit, the flow of divine favor, fortunes, and financial blessings, abundant resources. We talked about the activation of functional faith, amplification, accentuation of your faith. We looked at the facilitation of the flow of wisdom, revelation, knowledge, and understanding. Another blessing and benefit of being on fire for God is fire facilitates the flow of functional power, the anointing that produces massive results, exploit, gives you audacity, authority, boldness, effrontery. Also, fire for witnessing, fire power for witnessing. We say evangelism or witnesses is fueled by burning fire. Fire fuels global evangelism. We can't reap the supernatural harvest without being on fire for God. We say fire gives you fame. Jesus returned in the fire power of the Spirit and fame of him spread abroad. So fire is the secret of influence, impact, popularity, fame, etc. Then fire fortifies. This talks of divine protection, preservation, safety, and security. Nothing fortifies you like fire. Nothing ensures your life and destiny like fire. Nothing secures your life and destiny like the fire of God. Fire purifies, fire refines. Fire will fast track or speed up your life and destiny. Listen, slow and sluggish Christianity is as a result of firelessness. Slow and sluggish Christianity is as a result of firelessness. Fire is a facilitator, an accelerator of your life and destiny. It also activates, it facilitates the fulfillment of your prophetic destiny. Christianity becomes a struggle when you lose your fire. Christianity becomes a struggle without fire. We said the energy, the enthusiasm, and the excitement that is needed to serve the Lord will flow from burning fire. Fire makes it fun to serve the Lord. Romans 12 verse 11. Fire makes serving the Lord a joy and a delight, not a struggle, not burdensome, not a burden. You know, there are people that they say they are Christians serving God, but it looks as if it's punishment. As if it's like a punishment. They are serving a punishment. There is no excitement. There is no joy. Nothing. Always tying their face, looking as if God is punishing them. It's because they lost their fire. When you are on fire, you will serve the Lord with joy, with excitement, with delight. Okay? So, burning fire, the burning of the fire of the Holy Ghost in your spirit makes serving the Lord easy. It makes serving the Lord exciting. It makes serving the Lord enthusiastic and rewarding. Fireful people are the happiest people. Fireful people are what? Happy people. In fact, they are the happiest people. They are the most excited. They are the most enthusiastic. And they are the most energetic. Fire facilitates your spiritual sensitivity to the voice and leadings of the Holy Spirit. When you are on fire for God, it's so easy to hear God. It's so easy to receive divine direction, guidance, receive divine instruction. Because fire will facilitate your spiritual sensitivity, and it will enhance your reception to the voice and leadings of the Holy Spirit. It becomes so easy to hear God and receive divine instruction, to receive divine directives, to be guided and led by the Spirit of God. Am I communicating? Fire enhances your spiritual discernment. So, how do you keep your fire burning? Leviticus 6 verse 12. We said there are certain priestly practices, priestly duties. There are certain disciplines and demands of priesthood that you must subscribe to on a daily basis for you to keep your fire burning. Watch this. The fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. The priest shall burn wood on it. Let me ask you a question. Whose responsibility is it to burn wood on it every morning? Shout it. The priest. And the Bible says we are priests of God. He has made us kings and priests unto God. Peter said, you are a chosen generation and a royal priesthood. A kingdom of priests. Am I communicating? So as a priest of God, it is your responsibility to keep your fire burning. Am I communicating? God will supply the fire. God has already supplied the fire. When you got born again, when you received the Holy Ghost, He gave you the fire. But He now gave you the responsibility of keeping the fire burning, and I'm going to be showing you how to do that. Am I communicating? Every morning, every day, 24/7. Somebody say 24/7. So, those disciplines and demands of priesthood, they are in form of daily routines, they are in form of daily rituals and regiment that you must keep doing to keep your fire burning on ever increasing levels. You do those things in a regimented manner. You discipline yourself. What are those priestly practices? What are those priestly practices? Acts chapter 2 verse 42. If you do a study of the early church, you see those primitive apostolic practices, how they were able to sustain their fire. The early church contacted fire on the day of Pentecost, and they were able to sustain that fire. There were things they did. I said they continued steadfastly after they got born again in the apostles' doctrine, teachings, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Can you see some of those things you do to keep the fire burning, to sustain it? Jump to verse 46. 46. Can I have verse 46? I need some speed today. Is there no 46? Acts 2. And they, continuing daily with one accord. What I want you to take note of is what? Continuing what? They were not doing it occasionally. You see, this is the problem. Many Christians don't practice these daily routines and rituals, those disciplines and demands of priesthood that keeps the fire burning. They don't do it daily. So there must be consistency on a daily basis. Am I communicating? There must be consistency. These things must be done daily, not weekly, daily. They continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Do you know the early church? They were holding daily meetings from house to house. Am I communicating? Some people call it home cell fellowship. They were day-to-day meeting. This is different from the one they meet in the temple on Sunday. Am I communicating? This was how they kept their fire burning. Everyday meeting. From house to house. The Sunday service, am I communicating, was different from this one. But today, what do we have? We see Christians, they only come, if they try, they come to church on Sunday. They hear God's word for just fellowship. Just if service is going to 3 hours, they start complaining. Say it's too long. But the same person will watch movie for 10 hours. Watch movie, watch series. They will even be asking for more. As the season 3 come out, I really enjoy season 1 and 2. I just finished the 2. 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. But when they come to church, the thing too long. This prayer meeting too long. You now see why many Christians are losing their fire. Where are the daily meetings that will fuel your fire? Calculate how many hours is in a week. How many hours out of those hours do you invest in fellowship, in priestly practices? Am I communicating? That will fuel your fire. They will say, AGM myself, they are meeting 2 days long. It's 2 days long. But go and watch them. They will watch football. Before the football starts, they will first use 30 minutes or 1 hour to do pre-match analysis. They will be arguing, my club, we will beat them. You just watch. We get this person, and you know this person is a very good striker. They will analyze. Then they will now watch the game 45 minutes. How many minutes is that? 90 minutes. That's what? 1 hour, 30 minutes. And if it is a decisive match that there must be a winner, after 90 minutes of added time, if there is no winner, they go extra 30 minutes. After watching the 30 minutes, if there is no winner, they now 30 minutes plus that 90. How many is that? They will not say time is too long. They will not say that one. And if no winner, they play penalty. Is that no more than how many hours now? We need to reorder our priorities. That's the truth. We need to start esteeming spiritual things highly. Remember those days when your fire level was high. You were even the first to come for service. You were the last to leave church. So what has happened to you? You are backsliding. You need to refire. If the things of God are no longer exciting to you, you are losing fire. That's the truth. One of the signs, let me tell you something. There are some signs to watch out for when your fire is going down. There are some signs that show waning fire. That's the thing, is dying, it's going down. One of them is what I just mentioned. When spiritual things are no longer exciting to you, when the value you used to place on spiritual things, that value has dropped. You are no longer esteeming spiritual things highly. You will rather watch football than to come for service. You will rather sit down and watch movie than to come for prayer meeting. That's the value you used to place on spiritual things has dropped. It shows that your fire level is going down. You need to recharge. Is that not what happened to Esau? He was a profane person. Profanity is a sign that your fire is waning. It's going down. Profanity. And what does it mean to be profane? It simply means you are esteeming spiritual things lightly. Instead of esteeming spiritual things highly, you are now esteeming it lightly. You don't attach much value to spiritual things anymore. Hebrews 12:14. Watch what the Bible said about Esau. Hebrews 12:14. Kilo bosa palatia. 16. Give me 16. Watch this. Profanity is a sign that your fire is waning. He said, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Birthright is spiritual. The blessing is spiritual. Morsel of meat is physical. Morsel of food will satisfy immediate hunger, physical hunger. But the blessing is what his life and destiny depend on. It will revolutionize the spiritual for the physical. Why? Because he esteemed spiritual things lightly. That's profanity. Are there Christians like that today? Plenty. Plenty. They say church is on fasting. Early morning they are eating. Say, ah, Brother John Bosco, we didn't hear the announcement in church. They say we are fasting. Why are you eating? They are down on a pastor own. You are Esau. Brother John Bosco is behaving like Esau. When you are eating, when you are supposed to be fasting, there are times the Holy Spirit will tell you, wait upon me today. Oh, the Holy Spirit has seen something coming. He wants you to enter a new dimension. And he said, wait upon me today. He said, Kai, Holy Ghost, I go fast next week. Next week, just only today. Mercy, Lord, mercy. You are behaving like Esau. Let your belly not be your God. Let your belly not be your God. Another sign of reducing fire is carnality. When you notice you are becoming too carnal. Too carnal. Are you getting me? Carnality. You are becoming carnally minded. You are becoming carnally minded is a sign of waning fire. Romans 8:6, it says, to be carnally minded is death. And if you don't do something about it, you can see, it leads to death. It takes a life on fire to stay consecrated. It takes a life on fire. When you become carnally minded, you begin to live like the people of the world. You begin to conform to this world. You see Christians going for parties, going even nightclub. You understand? Hey baby, you pull over. Pull over. You know? But they will come to church, even to dance. They will be looking. They will be forming Holy Mary in church. But don't watch them in parties. They will be scattering everywhere. Dance portable. Dancing. You understand? No wonder they are now behaving like the portable. They have 5 children for 4 different women. Baby mamas everywhere. Why won't your life become like portable? When that's the song that, let's check your phone, portable. portable song everywhere. Your destiny has become portable. Praise God. When you notice you are becoming too kind, small thing they annoy you, small thing you don't vex, small thing you don't fight, you are losing fire. Fire level is low. Fire level is low. Small thing you don't vex, I no go forgive. Now me you talk to like that. Mona omi. No omi again. Carnality. Do you know what it means to be carnal? To be sense ruled. To be ruled by your body. To be ruled by the senses, the five senses. To be controlled by your flesh. That's what it means to be carnal. When you notice that you are becoming too fleshly minded, as in you are controlled by your fleshly desire, then it shows that you are lost fire. You need to recharge and refuel. But when you are on fire for God, it's your spirit that will dominate your body and dominate your soul. You will be ruled by your spirit. Your spirit will gain the ascendancy. But when you are carnal, your flesh gains the ascendancy. Your flesh dominates your body and decides what you do. Praise God. The third sign that you are losing fire, should I tell you, is that you become slothful. Romans 12:11. You become slothful. What does it mean to be slothful? To be sluggish, to be slow. Spiritual sluggishness, slowness, slackness. You struggle to do the things that you used to do with excitement and with zeal. You lose your passion. To be slothful means to be passionless. You become passionless. There is this apathy to spiritual things. You are no longer fervent with passion. You become lukewarm. Lukewarmness, the state of lukewarmness, is a manifestation of slothfulness. Yes. Those who are spiritually slothful, they are lukewarm. That was the state of the Laodicean church. Am I communicating? Well, you know, most of the time we use slothfulness and laziness interchangeably. But they are not exactly the same. There's a difference between slothfulness and laziness. A lazy person is not doing what he's supposed to do. Are you seeing that? When you say somebody is lazy, that is supposed to do something. There are certain demands. There are certain things required of the person to do, but the person has failed to do it. That's laziness. But a slothful person is still doing those things, but this time around is doing it without passion, without any zeal. He has lost his favor. He has lost zeal. He has lost passion. He's just doing those things to fulfill all righteousness. And he's sluggish. So the person that is slothful, for instance, if the person is in prayer department, he will still be coming for meeting, but he's no longer passionate about service. He's no longer praying with passion. He's just dragging his leg to come. He's doing everything sluggishly. And it can be very annoying. Have you seen people like that? You tell them to do something, they will do it, but the doing is characterized by sluggishness, by what? Slowness, by what? Lack of passion, lack of zeal, lack of zest. The energy, the excitement that they used to do it before is gone. That's a slothful person. What's the diagnosis? Lack of fire. Not slothful in business, in this kingdom business. If you lack fire, you will be slothful. And Hebrews 6:12 is a be ye followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. It says Hebrews 6:12. He said, be ye not slothful. Let me tell you, no, but be ye not slothful, but be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Then Proverbs 19:15. Praise God. Jesus resents lukewarmness, which is a manifestation of slothfulness. Jesus rebuked and chastened the Laodicean church for their state of lukewarmness. Do you know that slothfulness is much more dangerous than laziness? Shall I say it again? I say, do you know that slothfulness is even much more dangerous than laziness? It is. That's why Jesus said, you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were even one of them. But you are lukewarm in between. I told you the worst place to be is what? In a war. In the middle. Or you are perceived as an enemy by both sides. Glory to God. Okay, right. How do I keep my fire burning? We'll run through them. Number one, kilobosa balataya. Number one, feed and meditate on God's word daily. Feed and meditate on God's word daily. Feed and meditate on God's word daily. The word of God is spiritual food. Matthew 4:4, Luke 4:4, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The word of God is fiery in nature. The word of God is fire. When you feed and meditate on his fiery word, you keep and escalate your spiritual fire level. Am I communicating? Word meditation is a major fire generator. Meditation on God's word is a major fire generator. Give me Psalm 39:3. Psalm 39:3, very fast. He said, my heart was hot within me. The psalmist said, my heart was hot within me while I was musing. One of the synonyms for meditation is musing. Amalagataya. While I was musing, as I ponder, as I ruminate on the word, as I'm meditating, the fire burned. So meditation on God's word is a major fire generator. Kalabakasataya. The word of God is fire. Give me Jeremiah 5:14. God asked Jeremiah, is not my word like fire? In Jeremiah 23:29, but let's look at Jeremiah 5:14. He said, the word of the Lord, wherefore thus said the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire. I once had an encounter. I saw myself preaching, and it was fire that was coming out of my mouth, not words. I was preaching God's word, but in the vision, it was fire. Like the way fire comes out of the mouth of a dragon. And then God reminded me this scripture. He said, I will make my words in thy mouth fire. You want to keep your fire burning? Feed on word fire. Meditate on word fire. The word of God is fiery. I will make my words in thy mouth fire. These people would, it shall devour them. And you know, when fire burns wood into ashes, there is an irreversible transformation. We say fire has transforming effect, right? Transforming power. Wood is solid. Ashes is what? You can carry wood with one hand. What of ashes? That is all over the place. Blow like this. What has happened? Somebody said transformation. What brought about the transformation? Even the molecular structure has been altered forever. Compare the molecular structure in wood. Compare it to those ones in ashes. Are they the same? Even the chemical composition. Fire has transformative effect. Then give me Jeremiah 20:9, when Isaiah wanted to retire because of persecution. He said, I made up my mind He said, I will not make mention of him. Why? Because of persecution. Not speak anymore in his name. But, his word was in my heart as a burning fire. Kaleboko sakata. Shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing. And I could not stay. I call this fire incontinence. Oh, only medical people will understand what I just said. There's what we call urinary incontinence. There's what we call fecal incontinence. Urinary incontinence simply means the patient cannot, their bladder cannot hold urine. That's, they're just passing urine uncontrollably like that, without control. You understand? So when we say fire incontinence, that's what Isaiah is experiencing there. He said his word was like fire shot up in my bow. I cannot contain it. In other words, the thing just they pour out. May that become your testimony. You become a mobile fire dispenser. A mobile fire dispenser. You learn to meditate on his word. Jeremiah 23 verse 29. You know, Jeremiah was a prophet of fire. So plenty scriptures from Jeremiah, right? He said, is not my word like as fire? God said, God is speaking, asking Jeremiah, interesting question. He said, is not my word like as a fire? Said the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock into pieces. So you learn to meditate on his word, the fire will burn. You learn to feed on his word, the fire will burn. Give me Luke 24, media, verse 32. You remember when Jesus was discussing with those two disciples, Cleopas and his colleague, am I communicating, on the road to Emmaus after Jesus resurrected? Can you remember that Jesus later revealed himself when they had communion, the breaking of the bread? The Bible said their eyes were open and they recognized Jesus, and Jesus vanished out of their sight. And look at what they said. He said, did not our heart, they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? In other words, Jesus was speaking fire words. His words were burning fire, flaming words. Their hearts were set ablaze by those words Jesus was speaking. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? While he opened to us the scriptures? When you feed and meditate on the word, your heart will burn. Kalabakasaya. In Proverbs 26, verse 20, we read earlier. It said, where there is no wood, there the fire goeth out. And the word of God is likened to that wood. So if you don't want the fire to go out, he said the priest, you burn wood every morning. In other words, you feed on the word daily. You meditate on the word daily. Am I communicating? The word of God is also the wood that fuels the burning of the fire. Kabbalataya. Is a wood. The priest, you burn wood on it every morning. You learn to fellowship with the word. And as you fellowship with the word, go beyond the realm of revelation and vision. Move over to the phase of burning fire. As you fellowship, go beyond the realm of what? Revelation and vision, to the realm of what? Burning fire. Did you notice when they commune with Jesus, and Jesus is the word made flesh, right? On the road to Emmaus, they were communing with Jesus. They were talking. That's a kind of fellowship with Jesus, fellowshipping with his word. Now, the first thing we later heard was that after they had the breaking of bread together, they took bread, they took communion, their eyes were open. That's the realm of vision and revelation. But unfortunately, many believers stop there. No, there's another level. Move over to the realm of burning. They say, did not our heart burn? Kalatizo veleteya. The Bible says it is the fire that caused the waters to boil, to make thy name known. Am I communicating? Don't share revelation without fire. Because the power to perform that vision, even the power to perform, to bring the prophecy and the revelation and vision to pass, it is burning fire that will supply that power. Am I communicating? So you learn to feed on the word daily, meditate on it daily, listen to God's word every day. Feast on messages. Listen to and feast on fiery messages. We have so many messages on our Telegram channel. Download them. They will set your heart on fire. I'm telling you, those messages are already setting people's heart on fire. Number two, how do I keep my fire burning? Through fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit through prayers, praise and worship. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit through prayers, praise and worship. Intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Communion, daily communion. 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship, the communion, the intimacy, the partnership, participation, intercourse with the Holy Ghost be with you. You learn to fellowship through prayers, fellowship through praise, fellowship through worship. Am I communicating? When you do that, the fire will burn and keep burning. 2 Chronicles 7:1. 2 Chronicles 7:1. Watch this. The Bible says, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, what came down? The fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And what happened? The glory of the Lord filled the house. Every opportunity to pray, don't joke with it, is opportunity to what? Contact fresh fire. To activate fresh fire. Thank God we had festival of fire yesterday. How many of you were here? Wow. How was the experience? It was something else. We shifted. Praise God. Better new things. Mantaka balataya. When we pray, there is a release of fresh fire. There is an escalation of your spiritual fire level. Solomon prayed, fire fell and from heaven. And what happened? It consumed the burnt offering, the sacrifice, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. That was the fire of God's glory or presence. Next verse, it says, and the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord. In other words, it interrupted the normal priestly order. Oh God, interrupt our services with the fire of your presence and glory. You know, sometimes we can become too mechanical, as in professional priesthood. This one now, it's time for this person now. It's time for this. It's time for this. It's good. It's good. Planning is good, but hand over to the Holy Spirit. Be flexible enough. Be spirit led. Am I communicating? The glory of the Lord filled the house. Next verse. What was the response of the people? Worship. And when all the children of Israel saw the fire come down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worship. Somebody say worship. There is so much power in worship. Maleko fratata. Iko vraka palatia. You see that same 2 Chronicles 5:13. What happened when the Levites, about 120 of them, it came to pass as the trumpeters and singers were united in worship, they were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. When they lifted up their voice with the trumpet and cymbals and instrument of music and praise the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. That then the house was filled with a cloud. That's a manifestation of God's glory. Even the house of God, verse 14. So that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the glory cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. What provoked this manifestation of God's presence? Somebody say worship. You want to keep your fire burning. You want to sustain your fire. Be a worshiper. Give yourself to prayer. intimacy with the Holy Ghost. Maleko vrakata. As a priest, you are on duty 24/7. You are on duty. Shaleko vabalataya. When Elijah prayed in 1 Kings 18, verse 31 to 39, at that contest with the prophet of Baal, those false prophets on Mount Carmel, after they've done all their own, no show, Elijah gathered the people to his corner. At the time of the evening sacrifice, that's 3 p.m., he lifted up his voice. But before then, he told them they should... he took 12 stones, made an altar unto the Lord. Am I communicating? 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And he called upon the God of Israel. After he had told them to put this wood, put the sacrifice, pour water. They said, we don't pour. He said, pour more water. They said, we don't pour. He said, pour more water. Until the thing was overflowing. Fill the trenches. Drench the sacrifice and all of that. Soak the wood. And then he called on the God that answered by fire. And what happened? Bible says fire fell and licked up the water. Pastor Muffin was talking about a dimension of fire that licks water. My God. It's not every kind of fire that water can quench. That one a junior fire. Any fire water can quench na junior fire. Manda baladaya. This one licked up the water. And you know, the water can represent the difficulties we are going through. Because in Isaiah 43, he said, though you go through the waters, I will be with you. You go through the river. So it can be a prophetic picture of difficulties, challenges, problem. What is the cure? What will lick up the water? What will lick up the waters of difficulty? Waters of problem. Damoa, wahala, palava. How do you say it? You understand? There is a kind of fire that licks up water. I trust God that let that fire come upon you tonight. Paleto bota. It will make your problem a thing of the past. In Acts chapter 16, verse 25, you see the story of Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail. The Bible says they prayed and got the note of victory. They prayed and then prevailed in the spirit, got the note of victory, and then began to sing. And what happened? The manifest presence of God was manifested. You learn to pray in the Holy Ghost much more frequently. Jude 20, he said, but ye beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. He said, rise like an edifice, higher and higher. We read earlier in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, you see the primitive practices, apostolic practices in the early church. Acts 2, 42. It says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine or teaching and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. These were the things they did to sustain their fire. So you learn to fellowship with the Holy Spirit through prayers, through praise, and what? Through worship. The next key is periodic fasting. What do I do to sustain my fire? What do I do to keep my fire burning? Periodic fasting. Give me Luke 2:36. Periodic fastings. Fasting, many believers have not been taught that fasting is a part and package of our spiritual health package. It's a part and parcel of our spiritual health package. Am I communicating? Periodic fasting. Concerning Anna, a prophetess, there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asa. She was of great age. She had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. Next verse. She was a widow about 84 years. We departed not from the temple, but served God. How did she serve God? With fastings and prayers, night and day. We say fasting is a prayer booster. Fasting is a prayer facilitator. Fasting is a prayer amplifier. Fasting is a prayer intensifier. Fasting is a prayer enhancer. From time to time, as you are led, fast. Both personally and corporately. Even Jesus, before he started his messianic ministry for 3.5 years, he went on 40 days fasting. Fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Praise God. So, when you notice that your fire level is dropping, you don't even need any trumpet sound to tell you that you need to go on a retreat. Personal retreat. Declare a fast. You know, these people will laugh at Pharisees. They say a Christian is behaving like a Pharisee. He looks like carnal people, but religious people. Am I communicating? But do you know, the Pharisees, they fasted twice a week. How many Christians fast twice a week? Average Christians. The Pharisees fasted twice every Tuesday and Thursday. They fasted. The early church fasted twice a week. The early church, they fasted every Wednesdays and Fridays. But today we have believers that don't even know how to fast. Say, me, I get ulcer. They can't. Anytime I fast, once it done, they reach 12, my body could shake. I go just sweat somehow. My eye go dizzy. Go do me like say I won't faint. Receive grace for fasting. To keep your fire burning. These are things you do to keep your fire burning. It was after Jesus fasted, Luke 4 from verse 1 down, and then you read verse 14 that he returned in the power of the Spirit. He returned with fire power. Look, you don't tarry to receive the Holy Ghost today in the New Testament. You don't need to tarry. The Holy Ghost has been given. But you need to tarry to carry fresh fire power. You need to tarry in prayer, even with fasting, to manifest fresh fire power in ever increasing measure. In the school of fire power, fasting is a major. It's a compulsory course. In Luke chapter 9, when Jesus prayed, didn't you see the men that appeared to him, Moses and Elijah? What do those men have in common? Three of them, what do they have in common? Moses fasted 40 days, 40 nights. He was in Mount Sinai. You remember when he went to collect the Ten Commandments? He fellowshiped with God. He was enjoying the presence of God. Until the substance of glory rubbed on him. There was a rub off. His face began to shine. Exodus 34. The Bible said literally, his face, Moses, Exodus 34, 27 to 35, his face began to shine, to beam forth with the glory of God. The people became afraid. They begged him, Moses, please put a veil on your face. So he had to veil his face when he's talking to the children of Israel. Moses was not even aware that his face was shining. It was the children of Israel. In other words, the thing was unconscious. Barakabasuvrahadia. You know, there are some believers today, professors of refs. They say fasting is Old Testament. Say, you know, in this New Testament, there's no need to fast. There is no commandment in scripture that says we should fast. So it's not you don't need to fast. You see, you don't need to fast. They don't know as they ought to know. Can you know more revelation than Apostle Paul? Yet, do you know what the Bible said? Apostle Paul was a man that fasted often. Give me 2 Corinthians 6 verse 4. Paul, a fiery apostle with massive impact, massive results, colossal, he commanded colossal impact and massive results in his ministry. He did explosive exploits, and he showed us one of his secrets was that he fasted often. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 4, he said, but in all things, approving ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessity, in distress, verse 5, in stripes, in imprisonments, in torments, in labor, in watchings, in fastings, in plural. Then give me that same 2 Corinthians 11:27. Paul was a man that fasted often. No wonder he did those exploits. He carried unusual fire. This guy almost crisscrossed the whole of Asia Minor, preaching the gospel on foot, through ship, through boat, all manner. Planted churches everywhere. Even planted churches in the house of Julius Caesar. Planted church in the house of Caesar. Because in one of his letters, he said, greet the brethren that are in the household of Caesar. In other words, he planted a church in the house of... Do you know who Caesar was? This was a period in which the Roman Empire were persecuting the church. The church was like the object of bitter persecution. And who is Caesar? The Roman Emperor. And yet, Paul planted a church in his house. It takes somebody to carry that kind of fire. Have you not heard of Evangelist Paul Gindiri from Plateau State, one of the gospel generals in this state? It is on record that he's the only preacher that preached in the compound, of the Sultan of Sokoto, Sarkin Musulumi in Nigeria. The guy put his speaker. Some people were stoning him, throwing things at him. The guy was preaching a lion. The kind of fire that man carried. Where are people like that? He was that bold. Preach around the palace of the Sultan of Sokoto. He was not afraid. How many Christians can dare it? They will say, wisdom is profitable. people look for scripture to justify almost anything that they want to do. In weariness, painfulness, in watchings, often in hunger and thirst. Thank God he separated the two. In hunger and thirst, in fastings often. He separated both. There are people that say, when there is no food, just turn them into fasting. Paul separated the two. In hunger and thirst, then he said in fasting often, not occasionally. So periodic fasting will help you to refuel. It will help you to refire. If you don't want to expire, refire. If you don't want to expire, refire. Periodic fasting will help you refire, recharge, rekindle the flames of your fire. It will help you to be refreshed, to be renewed. It will restore your fire in ever increasing measure. It's your strategy. Fasting is a form of self-denial for a greater good. Jesus emphasized the need to fast and the rewards of fasting in Matthew 6:16-18. If you study his teaching, he started by saying, when you give alms to the poor, don't do it publicly. You understand? He then said, he was talking of the motive there. Don't blow trumpet and all of that. Have the right motive. Do it with the right motive, okay? Then he talked about when you pray. Then the last one he talked about is when you fast. Look at it. Matthew 6 verse 16, right? 16-18. He says, when you fast. He said, when you fast. Moreover, when. There's a difference between if and when. When you fast, not if you fast. If you say if you fast, that means it's conditional. You can choose not to fast, right? It's optional. Rather, the word if means it is optional. But when they say when, that means it's not optional. And time will come that you will need to fast. Jesus said, time will come the bridegroom will be taken away from you. Then you will need to fast. Then. And is Jesus the bridegroom with us physically now? No. So fasting is very much necessary. And then he said, when you fast correctly, when fasting is done properly according to scriptural guidelines and according to God's will, there are rewards. There are rewards. So to carry and manifest firepower continually, you must learn the secret of tarrying in prayers with fastings. You see that in Luke 4:1-14, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit and the fame of him spread abroad. Then the next key to sustaining your fire, to keeping your fire burning in ever increasing measure, is fellowship with one another. That's fellowship among believers, in church services, in meetings. Fellowship among believers, in meetings and in church services. You see that in Acts 2:42, the Bible said they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. The fellowship there is talking of fellowship of believers. Am I communicating? Hebrews 10:25, he said, not neglecting the assembly of ourselves. Okay? As some of the manner of some people are. Always go to church. Come for meetings. Come for services. Okay? Don't be a lone ranger. Don't say, I will follow online. Online is not substitute for on ground. It's only a supplement when you cannot truly come on ground. It's not like a substitute. Am I communicating? Because we say the house of God is a house of fire. The house of God is a spiritual fire station. So when you come, you refuel, you recharge under this corporate anointing. You receive impartation of fresh fire. Praise God. Not forsaking the assembly. Let's read this 1, 2, 3 together. Not forsaking the assembling together of ourselves, as some of the manner some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you did day, as you see the day approaching. So that assembling of ourselves together is talking of church gatherings, church meetings, whether it's Sunday service or weekly service or programs. Am I communicating? It's one of God's strategy for keeping your fire burning. Listen. Do you know that it was Jesus' habit and custom to always go to church? Shall I show you? Then what they had was a synagogue. Look at it. Luke 4:16. Anytime we come for church service, we have fellowship one with another. Am I communicating? And there are impartations of the Spirit. You drink and you benefit from that corporate anointing, that corporate grace. Am I communicating? It helps your fire. Sometimes you may come with low fire level, but after fellowship, your fire goes up. Church is for fellowship. Am I communicating? It's not a religious routine or a religious gathering. He came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, give me an amplified. Can you see? It was Jesus' habit, it was his custom to always go to the synagogue. He entered the synagogue as was his custom on the Sabbath day. On the Sabbath day, that was when they worship. Can you be more anointed than Jesus? Jesus always went to church when he was on earth. Can you know more revelation than him? He was the Word made flesh. Yet, he was not a lone ranger. Another person I will give you is Apostle Paul. Give me Acts 17:1. It was also Apostle Paul's habit or lifestyle to always go to church. Apostle Paul knew the place of church fellowship. just like Jesus. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. Next verse, verse 2. And Paul, as his manner was, it was his habit, it was his custom, it was his lifestyle, went in unto them, and three Sabbaths reasoned with them out of scriptures. So if Jesus always went to church when he was on earth, Apostle Paul always went to church, where did you get your own revelation from? Are you more anointed than these people? Selah. Let me tell you something. Satan's age-long strategy is to isolate believers from corporate fellowship, to drain their fire. Listen, no matter how much you are on fire for God, you can never stand alone. You need fellowship with other believers. You need the fellowship in the church. You need church fellowship to sustain that fire. Our mothers that cook with firewood, anytime they want the fire to die and they don't want to pour water on it, what do? They separate them, because they know that once they are separated or isolated, the fire will go out. It's just a matter of time. Do you know that is how Satan, that's the strategy Satan uses to drain people's fire. He will just isolate them from church and give them reason. Listen, never leave church because of offense. Never leave church because somebody got you angry or offended. It can even be the pastor. The church is not for perfect people. Listen. That's why he gave ministry gift. It's for the perfecting of the saint. So don't expect perfection here. Am I communicating? The church Jesus died for is not a perfect church. That's why he's cleansing it with the water, by the word. That's why we teach God's word. People are at different stages of spiritual growth and development. Am I communicating? Never allow offense to stop you from coming to church. Never allow offense to disconnect you from kingdom service. Never allow offense to isolate you from corporate gathering. Am I communicating? Satan's age-long strategy is to isolate a believer from fellowship in order to drain his fire, to extinguish his fire before attacking and destroying that person. Satan knows that when you are in church, you are fellowshipping in church, it's difficult for him to get you, because you have a covering. You are contacting fire there. There is a prophetic covering over you. So what is the strategy? It will isolate you. It will use whatever method to achieve it. It may get you offended. Somebody will just do something. You are angry. Say, I no serve again. I no come this church again. You leave. It will just be clapping for you. Then you can even, some people will even look for scriptures to justify their action, to stay alone. Satan is watching. He is watching the fire level drop after isolating the person. Then, bam, he attacks. That will not be your portion. Tell your neighbor, don't stop coming for service. Don't stop coming for Avalanche of Glory service. Don't stop coming for Friday prayer meeting. Don't stop coming for programs, Festival of Fire. Don't stop coming. And we are going to have Supernatural Night of Wonders this Friday. Praise God. It's going to be hot. We are crossing over this into the second half of the year in God's presence. It's going to be a majestic migration, a prophetic ride on the wings of the Spirit into the second half of the year. Live and direct. Thank God Friday is a public holiday. So use morning till evening to chill, relax. Then in the night, come, let's do serious business and cross over with fresh firepower into the second half of the year. Can you shout amen?
So the church is a spiritual refilling station, is a spiritual fire station. Give me that scripture, Isaiah 13:1-9.
Church helps you to grow spiritually. It helps you. It's fundamentally for fellowship and for the enhancement of your spiritual growth. He says, "You shall pass over." Look at that ending part. I'm interested in it. Say the Lord, whose fire is in Zion, and his furnace is in what? Jerusalem. So the house of God is a spiritual house of fire. So also learn to maintain the right association. I'm talking of your choice of friends. Keep the right company. Proverbs 13:20, it says, "He that walks with wise men shall be wise, but the companion of fools shall be destroyed." Company with the burning ones. Company with people that are on fire for God. Am I communicating? He that walks with fireful people shall become fire. Even if you were cold before, even if you were lukewarm, if you company with burning ones, you will what? Contact the fire. We say fire is what? Highly contagious. If you follow lukewarm believers or lukewarm people or cold people or fireless people, what will happen? You will lose the little fire you have, Zeph. Evil company corrupts your fire. Evil company corrupts and extinguishes your fire. Evil company, bad friends, they drain your fire. So that takes me to the next key. How do you sustain and keep your fire burning? Eradicate the fire extinguishers from your life. Eradicate what? The fire extinguishers from your life. It can be, those fire extinguishers can be in form of bad companies, bad friends, bad associations, wrong companies, people that drain your fire. They quench your fire. They put out your fire. They extinguish your fire. Look up. Anybody that you notice that from the day you became friends with them, your fire started going down. Such people are not good for you. Cut off from that relationship. I'm the one telling you. Believe you me. You start a relationship and you notice your fire is going down. You don't need to ask God whether it's his will or not. I'm already telling you, it's not the will of God. Break from that relationship. A good friend will help maintain your fire. We even increase it. We add value to you. Friendship is not just for fun. Friendship is for the future. Friendship is to enhance your spiritual fire. A true friend will add value to your life. Any friendship. Some of you, for instance, after service like this, after powerful meeting, you catch fire. And then you now return to those wrong friends. And after 1 hour, your fire has dropped. From 300 degrees, is now 5 degrees. Just 1 hour with those wrong friends. These are fire extinguishers. You need, see, sit down. Take a stock of your life and identify the fire extinguishers and then deal ruthlessly with them. Cut off from them. Remove the ashes. Remove the ashes. Look at Leviticus 6:10. One of the duties of the priest in order to sustain the burning of the fire is to remove the ashes. You know why? Because the ashes are fire extinguishers. One of the things that can put out the fire, that can extinguish and quench it, is those ashes. So remove the ashes from your life. The priest shall put wood on it, lining garment, and then the lining breeches shall put on his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire had consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. Tell your neighbor, remove the ashes from your life to keep your fire burning. Shun the life of sin. Stay away from sin. It's part of those fire extinguishers. Stay away. These are ashes. Disobedience. These are fire extinguishers. Live for God. Keep yourself pure. Am I communicating? Any guy, as a lady, any guy you are in a relationship with that is always demanding for sex. Demand, say, Abba, body no be firewood now. Abba, if you no agree, I go do with other. You know how many girls they die for me? I go agree for others. So I go go down with others. So you know, I promise to marry you. I promise to marry you. If I don't do, if you don't let me do, body no be firewood. I feel they tempted. I feel go down with other ladies. Where did they die for me? Some foolish ladies, they will now say, just once. Only once. Now that once will result into pregnancy. That once will go give you HIV. Don't marry a man that cannot control his sex drive. Don't marry a man that cannot control his sexual urges. Don't marry a man that lacks self-control. Any man always demanding for sex. He says you are in a relationship with every time sex, every time. Break up! Come and meet me. If you are afraid, I will anoint you. I'm anointed to break wrong relationship. You don't know? I've broken some in my offices. So they came for counseling. I'm anointed to break. Once I analyze the relationship and it is a wrong one, it don't break. That anointing is so strong on me. Even Pastor Simi has it too. Praise God. Tell your neighbor, remove the ashes. Shun the life of sin. Shun disobedience. Break up. Break away from wrong association, wrong friendships, wrong relationships. It's not every ship that you must enter. With Jonah in your ship, no journey into your future. So what do you do with Jonah? Carry Jonah, offload Jonah, throw Jonah into the sea. That if you want to complete your journey. Okay, what will happen to Jonah now? You are worried about Jonah? Leave Jonah to God. God will provide fish, whale that will swallow Jonah. Did Jonah die? So what did they worry you? Carry, offload. And move on. Abraham could not see the vision of his next level. He couldn't see the vision for his next level until Lot was separated from. Do you know the meaning of Lot? Lot means veil. Veil, something that covers your face, you can't see. There are some wrong Lottish association, Lottish relationship that is blocking your vision. As long as you are in that relationship with that person, you are still befriending them, you will not see your future. You will not see God's plan. You are veiled. The Bible said the Lord spoke to Abraham after that Lot was separated from him. Separate from Lot. You want to hear the voice of God? Separate from Lottish relationships. Some of you, the reason why you are not hearing God's voice is because you are in wrong relationships. God spoke to him, lift up your eyes. Even his vision changed. New visions, new dream came. He said, look northwards, how all the land which you see, I have given to you. God did not speak to him to do that until Lot was separated from him. We are commanded to love everybody, but we are not commanded to befriend everybody. Friendship is a choice. If I'm going to Calabar, I will not follow somebody going to Meduguri. We won't enter the same vehicle. Next key. Lay your life, your entire life, on the altar as a living sacrifice unto God. How do you keep the fire burning? Lay your entire life, lay yourself on the altar as a living sacrifice unto God. Romans 12 verse 1. You know, the altar is a place of sacrifice. And the number one sacrifice that must be upon your altar is your own life. The sacrifice of your life. is the ultimate sacrifice. Lay it as a living sacrifice. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. In the New Testament, we don't offer dead sacrifice, like all these bulls and goats and all of that. Mm-mm. We offer ourselves as living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable unto Him, which is your reasonable service. This talks of a life of consecration, a life consecrated to God, to doing His will, a life of absolute surrender. You surrender to God's will, a life of total submission. You know, the proof of submission is obedience. So this talks of a life of total obedience to God. You follow God like a mumu. Anything He tells you to do, you say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You understand? He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Don't be wise in your eyes. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is what? Destruction and death. Can you be wiser than God? It is wisdom to submit to His Lordship. You know, there are many believers that they have accepted Jesus as their Savior. Good. But they have not submitted to His Lordship. They say with their mouth that He is my Lord. But do you know the meaning of Lord? Lord means master. Lord means owner. In other words, you have lost your will to His will. You are to do His will. You are to submit to it. The proof of submission is obedience. You are to live a life of total obedience to the master. Lord means controller. The Holy Spirit is not your errand boy, he's your boss. You don't give Him order, He gives you order. The prayer of young believer is, give me, give me, give me, give me. In fact, some even command Holy Spirit. They even command Him. They tell Him what to do. Out of ignorance. But mature believers, their prayer is, Lord, what will you have me do? Because they have come to submit to His Lordship. Offer yourself as a... Say, Lord, I lay myself on the altar. I am the sacrifice. That's a life of true worship. Worship is beyond singing. Do you know the first time the word worship was mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis 22, when God told Abraham, go and offer your son, your only son, which you love, which is Isaac, on Mount Moriah, one of those mountains. That was the first time that the word worship was mentioned. Abraham went, carried everything, including the servant and Isaac, and he told the servant, wait for me here. Me and the young lad, when he sighted Mount Moriah, we are going to worship. I think verse, is it 5 or 15? He says, we are going to worship. Genesis 22. He said, they are going to the mountain to worship. 22 verse 5. Abraham said unto the young men, abide ye here with the house. I and the lad, we go yonder and worship. This is the first time the word worship appears in the Bible. And according to the law of first mention, what does this mean? Sacrifice. Because what were they going to the mountain to do? Sacrifice. Who is the sacrifice? Isaac. So there is no worship without sacrifice. Your worship is incomplete, incorrect, without sacrifice. Sacrifice of obedience. Sacrifice of laying down your will on the altar. Laying down your life, submitting your will. So, the so-called worshiper that is living in disobedience is not a true worshiper. The one that is still fighting with God's will, the one that is not totally surrendered and yielded to God, is not a true worshiper. Because from here, you can see that worship is incomplete without sacrifice. The fire will not fall upon the altar without a sacrifice on the altar. Am I communicating? And the number one sacrifice is your life. Hebrews 13:15, it says, let us therefore offer unto God the sacrifice of praise through the fruit of our lips. That's living sacrifice. So, laying your life on the altar also talks about a life of total obedience, complete brokenness, and contriteness. Isaiah 57:15, complete brokenness and contriteness. He says, the sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, thou will not despise. Isaiah 57 verse 15. He said, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabit eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. If you want our God, who is a consuming fire, for you to dwell in his presence, to carry his presence, then you must have that contriteness and humility of spirit. Say, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Brokenness. Give me Psalm 51 verse 17. We'll soon pray now. Psalm 51 verse 17. It says, the sacrifices of God are what? Help me. 1, 2, 3, go. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, oh God, thou will not despise. He's talking of a repentant heart. So you repent. You know, the word repent simply means you change your ways. It's from the Greek word metanoia. Metanoia means to change your attitude, to change your thinking, and then as a result, you change your actions, attitude, and behavior. Am I communicating? Say, change your way of thinking, change your thought, and then change your attitude, your behavior, and actions. Repentance. You repair the broken altar in your life. Before Elijah called for the fire to come down, he first of all repaired what? The broken altar with those 12 stones. Brokenness and contriteness. Then the last key I give you is prophetic impartations by fire carriers. Give me 2 Kings 2 verse 9. Prophetic impartations. Key to sustaining your fire, to keep the fire burning. Prophetic impartation by fire carriers. Two men, Elijah and Elisha, they were on a journey and they were discussing. And now Elijah, the man of fire, the prophet of fire, is about to be carried to heaven. It came to pass when they were gone over, Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee. This was after Elisha had served him. He said, before I'm taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Next verse, he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Thank God he didn't say you've asked an impossible thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me, when I'm taken from thee, it shall be unto thee. If thou see me not, it shall not be. You see, most of the time, one of the worst enemy of you receiving impartation or receiving from God at all is distraction. That's why I say, if you see me, it's a test of focus. One of the law of impartation is focus. If you see me. Next verse. It says, it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, horses of fire, parted them both sunder. Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Verse 12. And Elisha saw it. He saw it. He was focused. He passed the test. And he cried, my father, my father, the chariot of Israel, the horsemen thereof. Oh, see, those angelic chariot of fire were the angels that ministered for his master, Elijah, during his earth walk. Elijah does not need those angels in heaven. He doesn't need them. Anointings don't go with the carriers to heaven. They don't need it in heaven. Mantles don't go with the carriers to heaven. They don't need those mantles in heaven. They don't need those anointings in heaven. They don't need those graces in heaven. Am I communicating? He says, my father, my father, the chariot of Israel, the horsemen thereof. These were fiery angels, cherubims of fire. He saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. You know, he asked for double portion. The guy was already practicing, doing rehearsal. He said, in case it is no drop. I love Elisha. He had that desperation of heart to receive. Verse 13. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. Hallelujah. So he got it. He took also the mantle. That mantle of fire is coming upon somebody. Prophetic impartation. Ezekiel 2:2. The spirit entered into me. The spirit of fire and burning. We enter somebody tonight. The spirit entered into me when he spoke to me. When Jesus spoke, there was impartation of fire in the hearts of those disciples on the way to Emmaus. They said, did not our heart burn within us? In Acts chapter 10 verse 44, the Bible says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them that had it. The Holy Ghost fell. The fire of the Spirit fell when he spoke. Impartation can happen by spoken word. In Exodus 3, 1 to 10, you will see Moses' encounter at the burning bush. And by that fire encounter, he was equipped and empowered for his assignment. Isaiah 6, 1 to 10, you will see Isaiah's encounter. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And he had a fire impartation. The seraphs, burning seraphs, carried coals and touched his tongue and anointed him and commissioned him for his ministry. Rise to your feet. I'm telling you, we are not alone in this service. We are not alone in this service. Magatose pilaka palataya sheteketose kila bakatia. There are certain fire encounters that define and refines your life and destiny forever. When I say forever, I mean forever, forever. This was one of such fire encounters that redefined his assignment, that revealed his calling. Before then, he had been a national prophet that heaven was not aware of. He was known on earth. He was not known in heaven. It was after this fire encounter, he heard the voice of God. He says, Whom shall I send? Who shall go for us? What? And he has been preaching without fire encounter. It's fire that authenticates a minister. It is fire that validates a true minister of God. Am I communicating? Palataya. In Luke chapter 9, verse 28, at the Mount of Transfiguration, that mountain that burned with blazing fire, we read that Jesus was praying. And as he prayed, verse 29, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. Look at what happened next, verse 30. I like this. And behold, there talked with him two men. These are the spirits of just men made perfect, which were Moses and Elijah, men of fire. Like begets like. Jesus was praying, and Elijah and Moses, carriers of fire. Palataya. Even Jesus needed impartation from Moses and Elijah in this encounter for him to fulfill his earthly messianic ministry. He needed fire encounters, impartations of fire from Moses and Elijah so that he could fulfill his assignment. Remember, Jesus said, my mission is to what? Set the earth on fire. I came to set the earth on fire. And to fulfill that mission, he needed impartation from carriers of fire, Elijah and Moses. Kaletopora palataya, mantoko braska palatia, retiso freketeleketia. In 1-2 minutes, I want you to cry out, Father, baptize me with fresh fire power. Baptize me with fresh fire. Ikilo feketeke bregedia. Release your fire afresh upon me so that I can be effective. Litiko balatiza in my assignment so that I can serve God correctly. Efekolekida brantakaba. I can serve God effectively, efficiently, acceptably. Kalabatose bilaka brande kepora katai. Ila fa poresi felito brekete. Elege braga dege brokotoko brekete. Eko pata sapalataya. I have come to this mountain of fire. I have come for asatatila parakute brekete. To refuel, to refire, to recharge. Kataka balatia, pranda poratia, embrekete, sopoloteni, elege brendo boko sekete, likito brekete. Father, release upon me, ashila da balagada gabragada, an impartation of fresh fire, an impartation of fresh fire, an impartation of fresh fire. Lataka baleko brandege barakatai. Ilege boko to burakatai, brandege pose pilata brakatai, ikopoto. Touch my tongue with your coals of fire. Touch my tongue with your coals of fire. Angelic encounters, encounters with angels of fire, encounters with the fire of the Holy Ghost, close encounters of the God kind. Liteke barakatai, the seraphims, burning seraphs, the cherubims, moving around with wheels of fire. Ikolofeketeleki brakatai, ikapato balatanas. Shalababa babo supelete, emprekete sulepelete, eliko vapura sapalateni, imbrakata sapalataya. Iloboko sekete. The Bible says it came to pass. Second Chronicles 27. No, Second Chronicles 7. 7 from verse 1. It came to pass when Solomon made an end of praying. After he prayed, the Bible says it came to pass that the fire fell. The fire fell. The fire of God's presence. The fire of God's glory. As you pray, fire, fresh fire is falling. Impartation of fresh fire as you pray is coming upon you. Agabado sebila kapata, revival fire. Jalada balakatai, likete kete kete, la batizo brekete. The mantle of revival. The mantle ashiketekeba of a revivalist. Litiko bolekida. The mantle of apostolic fire. The mantle of ashitekeba. The prophetic mantle of fire. The apostolic mantle of fire. The mantle of evangelistic fire. The ashile peketolika palatai. You are carrying that fire to your workplace. You are carrying it to your school. Carrying it to your home. Carrying it to your neighborhood. To your community. To your city. To the business world. To the world of media, politics, governance. Likito sevila pakatai. Ebranda kapatai. God is giving you a fire encounter. A fiery encounter. Ikopote sepeneteya. Arataka bakata prakatai. Ilo doboko sepelete, embreketekete, labataka barakatai. Ishalabato sepelete, prakatakatai. That fire is burning. It's burning in your spirit. It's burning in your heart. It's burning on your body. That fire is burning. Your eyes are burning. Your hands are burning. Liga bagadaya. Your legs are burning. That is the fire of the Holy Ghost. You are being equipped. You are being empowered. You are being fired. Ila dobo kosete le marabala gadege brakete. Efo pote pelete ke brakete. Eka balatuza balatai. Iro dobo kose fretete.
Mandeboko sepeladia. Shalabagada gabragada gebos. In the name of Jesus, all heads bow, all eyes close, all eyes close. If you are in this place and you know you need to repent, you need to make your ways right with God, you want God to restore your fire, you want to surrender your life to Jesus, or perhaps you did that before but you went back to the world, you know your ways are not right, you want to repent. The Bible says godly sorrow leadeth to repentance. Like the prodigal son, you want to return to Jesus. Like the prodigal daughter, you want to come back to him. You want to your fire restored. You want to accept him as your Lord and Savior. I want you to lift up your right hand wherever you are. Lift up your right hand wherever you are. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, my brother. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. My sister behind, God bless you. Ushers, protocol, hope you are taking note. Your hands up, please. If you are lifting your hand, can you take another step of faith? Come to Jesus. Come forward. Come forward. Come with all your belongings, your Bible, your journal, your bag. Come forward. Come forward. This is a very important moment. Come forward. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Thank you, Father. Wow, what a harvest. What a harvest. Yes, yes. John said, I baptize you with water, but Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. This is the best decision you can ever make. Now, those of you in front, look at me. Let me lead you to Christ. Say this prayer after me. Believe it. Mean it in your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I believe you died for my sins. On the third day, you were raised for my justification. I confess you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, congratulations. Congratulations.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Sagon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.